All right, it is good to have you here at City First. Thank you so much for being here. On behalf of Jen and myself, we're very, very honored you're here and joining us from all different locations all over the place. I have a question for you. Have you ever visited a place where it was extremely obvious that you were the outsider? Right? I remember years and years ago, I went to China and I was there helping the underground church. And I was there for 3 weeks and we went to all kinds of cities in the Hunan province. And it was very evident that I was not in America anymore. In fact, like for example, you go to a Chinese restaurant in America and if you can't use the chopsticks, you ask for a fork. You don't do that there. There are no forks. So if you don't know how to use chopsticks, you don't eat. But more than that, it was like we were in some remote places and I could tell by the way that people were looking at me, this was the first time they ever saw a Caucasian in real life. Like, I mean, they were looking at me because of the color of my hair and all that. And not only that, but I was super tall. That was another thing too, which is not the way it is in America. And I couldn't speak the language. I didn't know how to communicate. I had a little booklet. It was like a little paper booklet that was stapled together. And it had some like common like English phrases. And then it was translated into local dialect. And I would just go up to people and I would point at the symbols. And they would feel bad for me, I could tell. And they were very, very accommodating. They'd try to help me. Even what was crazy too is, you know, China's a communist government. And at 9 o'clock in many of these remote cities, that they'd literally at 9 o'clock at night shut the electricity off. Like everybody was forced to go to bed because the electricity was off. So whether or not I wanted to go to bed, whether I was tired or not, I had to head to bed. So whether it was how I was dressed, the kind of food I ate, the fact that I spoke a different language, it all became extremely obvious that I was an outsider. And I remember saying to the group that I was with, I remember quoting Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz and saying, we're not in Kansas anymore, you know? Here's a question though I also have. Do you ever feel like an outsider in our current culture? Do you ever look at the world and kind of go, man, I don't know if I totally understand what's going on or if I fit in? Like you look at current events, you look at maybe like modern day ideology. Maybe you're looking at like cultural trends and you're thinking, I feel like a foreigner here. I don't feel like I totally am in with this. Now, I'm not talking an age thing because for those of us that are continuously getting older, sometimes it's a little hard to understand other age demographics and maybe how they talk or how they dress or whatever. I'm not talking that kind of stuff. I'm talking about things like values. I'm talking about things like morals, priorities, ambitions, lifestyles, that as you look around in culture, you're like, I don't know if I totally feel like I fit in. And if you ever feel that way, I want to say, that's okay. It's okay because that's how the first century church felt, the followers of Jesus when they were in the Roman Empire. In fact, I would even say for the last 2,000 years, since the church was invented, what we now call the church, I'd say for the last 2,000 years, most of the time, the church felt like the oddballs in culture. It didn't quite all the way fit in. Why? Well, we see in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, it says this, but we are citizens of heaven. Turn to the person next to you and say, citizens of heaven. I want you to remember this, citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly awaiting for him to return as our Savior. In other words, our earthly citizenship might be right here to the United States, but our spiritual citizenship is to the kingdom of God. And many times we don't remember this, or we forget it, or we don't understand it, but Jesus said it this way, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit what he said, but he basically said, you're in this world, but you're not of this world. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. Now, we cannot be so heavenly minded that we're of no earthly good, but also we can't be so earthly minded that we're of no heavenly good. Today, we're going to launch this new series. It's called We the Kingdom. And for this month of October, we're going to discuss what it means to be a citizen of heaven. where I talk about how we're supposed to live according to what the Word of God says, and that might be even counterculture. Some of us might be hearing this for the very first time. Some of you might be like, citizen of heaven, I've never heard this before. Some of you may have heard it a long time ago, but we need to be reminded of it, right? And anyone who's made Jesus the leader and the forgiver of their life, this is a truth you have to understand, and that is this: this earth is not your forever home. You're here temporarily. Reminds me of a band that I've loved for decades named Switchfoot, and they had a song that came out like 20 years ago called The Beautiful Letdown, and it goes like this. Lyrics say, in a world full of bitter pain and bitter doubts, I was trying so hard to fit in till I found out I don't belong here. And you know, there's a moment in our lives where culture's going one direction and God's word is saying to do this in another direction, and you kind of come to this realization, gosh, I feel like I don't fit in. Your citizenship, your values, your priorities, your worldview, your lifestyle, all are sourced from a different culture, a kingdom culture. Not the culture around you, but a kingdom culture. And as Christians, we're not merely residents of this world, but also we're citizens of the kingdom of heaven. It's both and, it's not either or. And the more that we understand that, the more it shapes our values, our behaviors, our interaction with others around us and the world around us. When we have the mindset that we are really temporary residents, we are not here forever, then all of a sudden we start seeing life through a different lens. I'd put it this way: if I were to take a string and I were to tie it on this side of the stage, and I were to take that string and I would walk it all the way across and tie the other end of it to that side of the stage, and I were to take a Sharpie marker and I would take and put a dot on that string, that dot represents the 70, 80, 90, or 100 years that we have on the face of this earth in light of eternity. The Bible says this. The Bible says that life is like a vapor. It's like a mist. It's there and it disappears. And so we need to understand this, and Jesus even emphasized it. In fact, when he walked the face of the earth, he talked about all different types of important topics. Like, he gave some phenomenal teachings because he was God and man at the same time. And if you read his teachings, they're life-changing. But if you were to ask, what was the meta theme? In other words, what was the 40,000-foot theme that you could take most of his sermons or all of his sermons and put it under that umbrella? What is that? And some people would say, well, that meta theme was love. Actually not. Now, he talked a lot about love. He talked about loving one another, loving your enemies, how God loves us. I mean, he talked a lot about love. Some would say it's about healing. Well, he healed people, but that was not the meta theme. Some would say it's about repentance, right? Well, yes, he talked about repentance. In fact, he talked about that a lot, but you know what? That was not the meta theme. If you were to really study all of his messages, all his teachings, what is the common thread and the meta theme? The common thread was that he talked about the kingdom of God. In fact, many times he would say it this way: the kingdom of God is like, and then he would tell a story. We call that a parable. Other things that he'd say, like his most famous prayer, the Lord's Prayer, some of you had to memorize this growing up, it's found in Matthew chapter 6. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Have you ever stopped to think about what he meant by that? Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, that he was saying, may God's way of living become our way of living on earth. The kingdom way of living is the right way of living. Other things that Jesus said is he said to seek the kingdom of God above all else and to live righteously. Now, that word righteously, what does that mean? It means to be in right standing with God. And then all of these things that he will add, God will add all these things to your life, everything you need, everything you need. So you want to find what you need in life, you prioritize and put first seeking the kingdom of God. In other words, God's way of living. So do you feel like an outsider in our culture? Do you watch the news or listen to the podcasts or look online and think to yourself, I don't know if I feel like I'm jiving with this, like I feel like a foreigner? Well, if you don't feel comfortable in this culture, good. Good. I know some of you are like, really? Yeah. Because if you were to feel totally comfortable in this culture, I think there's something then deeply wrong with your relationship with Jesus. Because Jesus even said that the world is not going to understand us to the point where the world might even try to persecute or give us kind of some shade, you could say, that they are going to resist us. Reason why is God's ways are different than culture's ways. And as a Christ follower, the Spirit inside of you, the Holy Spirit, is going to make you a little disturbed about the spirit of this culture. You know, don't be surprised when the world bothers you. It will. But don't get caught up so much in the angst that it makes you forget why you are here and you become angry. You see, the spirit in you is different than the spirit in this world. And that angst is either going to make you full of anger or it's going to make you full of God's purpose. There are so many Christians right now that I feel are angry. You just see it. They're angry at politics. They're angry at culture. They're angry at what's happening in the world. But here's the problem. An angry church is never going to reach a lost culture. The more angry we are, the more repulsed culture is going to be. So us being angry is not going to help the situation. We're just going to not sleep at night. Do you hear that? And we cannot be surprised when people who are far from faith act like people who don't have faith. We need to remember we don't belong here, but we are on mission while we are here. Now, don't hear this as an escapism kind of sermon. Like, I don't belong here. My citizenship, yes, is to America, but this isn't my forever home. My forever home is the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, but I want to stick around here a little while. Does that make sense? I'm not trying to get out of here. My point is that while I'm here, I need to realize and I need to be okay with this, that sometimes culture is not going to understand what God instructs me to do or how he instructs me to live. And even culture might make fun of it, and they might think it's stupid and foolish, and I can't get all bent out of shape about that, because here's the thing, we can't get surprised when people who are far from faith act like people who don't have faith. We just can't get surprised by it. But we are on mission while we're here. We're not just waiting, oh God, I can't wait to go to heaven. We're not just waiting for it, we're on mission. Many years ago, there was a pastor by the name of Frederick Lewis Donaldson. He was the canon of Westminster Abbey in London. And if you don't know what that is, that's kind of like a famous church that's there in the middle of town. And he was there from 1924 to 1951 as the canon of Westminster, which means he was kind of like an important pastor on staff, you could say. He created what he called the seven social sins. Now, Mahatma Gandhi actually took his teachings and preached them and talked about them. And so a lot of people think that Gandhi came up with these, but really it was Frederick Lewis Donaldson, an Anglican pastor, that came up with seven social sins. He said, there are seven sins that society commits. The first one is this, wealth without work. In other words, we want to become rich, but we don't want to break a sweat. Another one, pleasure without conscience. In other words, I'm going to try to seek after pleasure even after I have to cross some moral boundaries. Knowledge without character. That's an interesting one. Commerce without morality. In other words, I'm going to sell a widget, I'm going to make a buck or whatever, and I don't care what it takes. Science without humanity. Religion without sacrifice. That means I want to have all the benefits of spirituality without any of the costs of spirituality. And the last one, it's a doozy, politics without principle. Those are the seven social sins, according to Frederick Louis Donaldson. Now, these were written over almost 100 years ago, but I feel like they could have been written last week. Amen? I mean, really. I promise you the angst that you're feeling as a Christ follower is the fact that one or more of these seven things culture is violating. And it's making you frustrated. But our angst has to be turned into burden and not anger, because we're citizens of heaven and our actions, our lifestyles, and our priorities are informed by God. And what we really should do is we should look at those seven categories and say, I'm gonna live different in those seven categories. I am not gonna have religion without sacrifice. I am not gonna have science without humanity. I am going to, instead, in those seven areas, I'm going to live different than culture. We do life differently than those that do not have faith. In fact, the Apostle Peter said this in his epistle. He says, "Dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls." Now listen to this. Temporary residents and foreigners. He's looking at us as Christians and he goes, you're only here for a little bit. You're gonna live different. Don't give in to the temptations of cultural value systems. When you and I made Jesus the leader and the forgiver of our lives, this is in essence what we're saying. We're saying, Jesus, you're now my king of my life and I'm now a citizen of a heavenly kingdom. That in other words, Jesus, you're in charge, I'm not, and you will inform me as to how to live. Whether I want to love my enemy or not is irrelevant. Rather, instead, you command me to do so, so I'm gonna love my enemy, even though I don't want to. You see, the king is in charge. Now here's the thing. As people who live in a democracy, we don't understand kingdom very much. Because we live in a democracy and what we do is we vote in and out our leaders, we criticize them openly, we get on podcasts or write blogs or comments underneath news reports. We just can do that. Not so in a real kingdom. In a real kingdom, the king owns everything. The king owns everything and everyone who resides in his kingdom is a subject. And so in other words, if the king says do this, you do it. Now that's really good if you serve a kind king. It's really bad if you serve an evil king. In fact, the first of the Ten Commandments, you know, the Ten Commandments that are found, you know, in the Old Testament in Exodus, the very first one says this, God says, you shall have no other gods before me. So right out of the gate, the very first commandment, God says, no one else is in charge. I'm in charge. I will not share the throne with anybody else. Now, I know you look at that and you kind of go, well, okay, yeah, it's not like we worship idols here in America. You might look at some developing countries and they have little statues of things or whatever else, and we don't do that here in America. No. We actually have a lot of gods in America. We really do. And I'm not talking little idols that are in the corner of your house. I'm talking gods that are a part of our culture, and guess what? They want us to be citizens of their little kingdoms. Like, here's just a few of them. This is not an exhaustive list, but the god of materialism, money or wealth, we look at as a god. And you know what? You think about it, how much effort, how much passion, how much time people give to just making a lot of money. It can become a god. Or how about this, the god of hedonism. Now, hedonism is kind of an old-fashioned term, but it basically means this, pleasure is a god. How many people, Friday night rolls around and it's like, come on, let's go, right? Because it's like, let's go. But pleasure can become a god. Or the god of individualism. I'm telling you, America, this has America written all over it. I'm God. I'm important. My truth. I'm the one that is the captain of my own ship. You see, we can become our own God. Or how about this one? The God of socialism. In other words, government is God. There are all kinds of modern day gods out there. I'm not saying that money's wrong. I'm not saying that pleasure within the boundaries are wrong. I'm not saying government is wrong. I'm not saying any of these things are wrong, but they can become wrong when they become a small g God in our life. And all, you can give that a round of applause. And all of these modern day gods have little kingdoms, and they want you to pledge allegiance to those kingdoms. Give your attention to it, give your passion to it, give your money to it, give your heart to it, make them your source of happiness and fulfillment and security. But here's the thing, all these little gods and all these little kingdoms will not make you ultimately happy and fulfilled. But when you understand the good king, the King of Kings, Jesus, who is in charge of the kingdom of heaven, and we understand that we make him king of our life, and we're now a citizen of heaven, we find the fulfillment that we've been striving after for all that time. We're just like, oh, I want to find it. You find it in Jesus. It says in Romans chapter 14, it says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat and drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. In other words, God's kingdom brings joy. God's kingdom, the good king, brings peace to our lives, brings goodness, fulfillment to all of its citizens. Jesus said it this way in Matthew chapter 13. He said, God's kingdom is like a treasure hidden in a field for years and then accidentally found by a trespasser. The finder is ecstatic. What a find, he says, and proceeds to sell everything he owns to raise money and buy that field. Or God's kingdom is like a jewel merchant on the hunt for exquisite pearls. Finding one that is flawless, he immediately sells everything and buys it. What Jesus is saying there is when you understand the kingdom of God and the good king that Jesus is, you're willing to give up everything to be a part of that kingdom. You're like, Jesus, you're king because it's the best way to live. It's the most fulfilling way to live. We give our old lives in return for a new life that Jesus gives us. And that new life comes with a new way of thinking, a new way of living, and a new way of being, and the new way of framing this life that we have on this earth. All their gods of all those other kingdoms are oppressive. What do I mean by that? Try serving the god of money. That's a pretty oppressive king because it makes life heavy. You never get everything you want. It demands performance that you can't give. It makes your soul weary. You start striving for things that you just can't attain. But yet in James 1:17, the Bible says that there is a good and a perfect father, a king, who gives his children good and perfect gifts. And that king does not change with the blowing wind. He doesn't change his mind. He doesn't change his character. He is constant. He is trustworthy. He is almighty, and he is stable. And we serve a good king who's for us. You know that God's for you. I know you don't feel it sometimes, but God loves you. He's for you. He didn't create all the circumstances that you're battling right now, but he wants to give you strength to overcome those circumstances. And guess what? He's made us a kingdom, a citizen of the kingdom of heaven through forgiveness. We're no longer having to strive in oppressive kingdoms, but rather we have freedom in God's kingdom. And when we become followers of Christ, we're transferred, the Bible says, from a kingdom of darkness into a kingdom of light. This means that our identity is no longer informed or tied to fleeting systems of this world. It's not tied to politics or cultures or values, but rather it's tied to an unshakable, eternal kingdom that will never, ever go away. Man, this culture is driven by temporary things, ambitions and pursuit of pleasure and called, you know, to things that are temporary, but we're called to things that are eternal. We live at a higher standard, one that reflects a godly kingdom, not an earthly kingdom. We live by values like love and forgiveness and humility and justice and holiness. You know, God's kingdom is within you. Do you understand that? It's with you. Like Jesus said it this way. He said, the kingdom of God is in your midst. Now, what was he talking about? He was talking to his followers. He's like, the kingdom of God is in your midst. He was saying, the kingdom of God, like him, it's in your midst, which means wherever God reigns as king, his kingdom is present. And if he's reigning as the king of your heart, his kingdom is in you. And as believers, God's reign is in our hearts, and we carry God's kingdom wherever we go. We're called to be agents of the godly kingdom, spreading good news wherever we go. We don't just merely visit the kingdom of God on Sunday mornings, but we carry the kingdom of God with us Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Everywhere we go, we are in the kingdom, and the kingdom is with us. It's in every moment of our lives. It's in our homes. When you go home today, because you're there and Jesus is there, the kingdom of God is there. In our communities and our workplaces, we need to reflect God's kingdom, his love, his peace, his righteousness, which means this: if you're a young person, you're not gonna do everything that all your friends are doing. If you're an adult, you're not going to engage in all the conversations or activities that maybe your peers are doing. You're gonna live different, because you're a citizen of another kingdom. And when people see us, they should see something different about us. They should see a glimpse of heaven. They should see us manifesting God's value systems in our everyday lives. It doesn't mean we're perfect. Doesn't mean we're not gonna screw up from time to time. But we live differently. We live with eternity in mind. We live different than other people in culture. Kingdom living means living differently. As members of the kingdom of God, we're called to live at a different standard. And that standard will many times sharply contrast with what's going on in the world around us. In fact, Paul says this to the Roman church, okay? This is like the epicenter of, at that point, the world's power, the Roman Empire. There's this little group of Christians meeting in Rome, and this is what he says. He goes, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Let me just stop there. Keep that verse up there. Just stop for a minute. Don't copy the customs or the behaviors of this world, which means when things are happening in our world, when things are happening that we politically don't like, when things that are happening that we culturally don't like, when things are happening in the world that we disagree with, we don't copy how everyone else responds. We respond differently. Does that make sense? But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. You change the way you think, you change the way you behave. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. We are not just parroting the world's language, actions, or value systems. You know how a parrot just copies? It will say what it's been told. We don't do that. As Christians, we are not called to blend in, but we're called to stand out, not because we're arrogant, not because we're super spiritual, because in humility and righteousness, we're showing the world there's a better way to live, God's kingdom way. If you're not standing out, you're probably blending in. When I was in China and I was walking around in those remote places, People were looking at me, and I could tell they were thinking, he's not from here. And when you go to work, and when you go home, especially if there are people that don't, you know, have faith in your home, when you are at family gatherings, when you go to the gym, when you go to the coffee house, coffee shop, when you go to school, people should be kind of silently thinking to themselves, there's something different about you. Why? Because you're a citizen of another culture. You're a citizen of a kingdom culture. Does that make sense? There's something different about you. You love more. You give more. You forgive more. You have joy more. It's abnormal in this culture. It's one of the reasons why at City First, like right at the height of the pandemic, when quite honestly, we lost six figures of revenue because people weren't able to give right at the beginning of COVID. They got scared and our offerings tanked. We decided to spend more money on giving away food. Why did we do that? Not because we had a lot more money as a church, because I'm like, we are gonna be counterculture. When everyone else is living in fear, we're gonna live by faith. You understand that? That's counterculture. And people are gonna notice and they're gonna go, wow, you're not from these parts. Because we're living with an eternal perspective. You see, the world focuses on the here and now, accumulating wealth or achievements or status or reputation or temporary pleasures. But as citizens of God's kingdom, we understand that life is temporary. It's just a dot on that string. And we're pilgrims passing through. In fact, I entitled today's message, "We Are Pilgrims with a Purpose." We're pilgrims with purpose. Our true home is heaven. And everything that we do during this dot that we're living, everything we do should be done with eternity in mind. That the way we live our lives, the actions, the way we talk, our priorities, our money, everything should be different. The first century church stuck out like a sore thumb in the Roman culture. And people wondered why. And slowly, over the next 300 years, people became Christ followers more and more by the tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands until finally in 313 AD, the emperor of the Roman Empire, his name was Constantine, became a Christian and legalized Christianity and said, this is the best way to live. You see, it was an underground movement of love and compassion and also standing out with different value systems and what we're in the Roman culture. It's the same with today. An internal perspective also gives us peace in times of difficulty. I realize right now, it's hard to be a Christian in our culture. It is. It looks stupid. It looks odd. Like, it actually looks foolish to some people. It's being made fun of. People criticize it. I understand it's hard, but here's the thing. With eternal perspective, we can have peace to know that in times where we're facing difficulty or mockery, we can live with a purpose that eventually will make a difference because we're ambassadors for Christ. Now you sit there and you go, ambassadors for Christ? Yeah. In fact, in the New Testament, it actually says, calls us ambassadors for Christ. What's an ambassador? An ambassador is someone who represents their home country in a foreign land. We are representing heaven in a foreign culture. You hear that? We represent heaven. We represent the King. We represent Jesus. And unfortunately, sometimes the church in general, capital C church in America, doesn't do good with this because we represent Jesus in a way that's inaccurate to who he was and who he is. May we be people who are good ambassadors of the King, that we represent Jesus accurately at our workplaces, at school, on the job site, in our neighborhood. Because our mission is to reconcile others to God and to show them the way to a good King and how to become a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. See, we're called to live in such a way that people see God's love through us. In fact, the Bible even says we've been rescued from a kingdom of darkness and we've now been put into a kingdom of light, pointing people to God's way of living. And so as we close, I want you to know this, that you're a citizen of a kingdom that's not going away. It will never go away. It's eternal. You know, Babylon thought that they were going to be around forever. The pharaohs in Egypt thought they were gods. The Roman Empire thought that they were literally going to conquer the entire globe. All of them, thousands of years later, are only a memory and described in a history book. But the kingdom of God will last forever. Every nation will come and go. Every culture will come and go. But kingdom culture and the kingdom of God is eternal. It will never go away. Which means you're a citizen of an eternal kingdom. And as Christians, we're called to live differently according to kingdom values, heavenly values, not earthly values. And it isn't because we're better than anybody else. And it's not because we're more spiritual than anybody else. It's because we've been redeemed and transformed by the grace of a good king who died for us so that we could have a new life. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I realize it's super hard sometimes to live in the workplace, at the house, in the neighborhood, in the school, having godly, heavenly values. It's hard. But Lord, I pray you give my friends strength to be okay with sticking out like a sore thumb. Not out of haughtiness, not with a religious spirit, but rather instead with humility and God's love, living by a different value system. And I pray that their lives would become attractional to their coworkers, to their fellow students, to their neighbors. May their lives be an example of true kingdom culture. God, thank you. Thank you, God, that you've rescued us from a kingdom of darkness and put us into a kingdom of light and life. Lord, help my friends have strength and be encouraged, even in times when it's hard and they feel like an outsider. With every head bowed and every eye closed, real quickly, if you say, I've never made Jesus the king of my life. I've never made him the leader and the forgiver of my life. I need to ask for forgiveness for the way I've been living. I want a new life. I believe Jesus died for me. He loves me unconditionally, and I want him to be the leader of my life. If you want to make Jesus king today, can you just go ahead and raise your hand, and I'm going to lead you in a prayer? Yeah, hands are up all over. I guarantee at every location. Can we just say this prayer real quickly? You can put your hands down. But let's say this prayer, all of us, whether you raised your hand or you didn't. But if you did raise your hand, realize God is listening to you and he loves you, all right? Let's all pray this together. Jesus, I come to you today and I ask for forgiveness for all my sin. I repent of all my wrong. Come into my heart. Be my leader and be my king. Thank you for dying for me. I want to live for you. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Come on, let's give God a huge round of applause. Can we do that?
Wow, what an absolutely incredible, incredible message from Pastor Jeremy. And man, I hope it was so helpful, challenging, and encouraging to you. And if you prayed that prayer to make Jesus the leader and the forgiver of your life, it is the best decision that you will ever make. And so congratulations. We are so excited for you. And maybe you're going, hey, well, what now? What do I do?
Yep.
Well, let me give you a couple of things that you can do. The first thing is this. Just let somebody know. Tell somebody. You can let us know simply there in the chat and say, hey, I made that decision. What can I do? What do I need to know? Or let a friend or a family member know. We'd love to come alongside and help you do that. And the second thing is this. There's a resource. There's going to be a QR code on the screen for you. It's simply just New Beginning. It's just a simple little resource that's going to tell you, hey, where do we start reading? How do I start to pray? Just some basic, simple answers to questions that you may have and just want to come alongside and do that. And then Candace is going to tell you a couple other things that you can do as well.
That's right. Another another great next step that we would love for you to take is to jump into Growth Track. Growth Track is a 4-week course. You can take it in person or online. In person starts back up at the beginning of each month. But if you're wanting to take it online, you can start as soon as this week. And so we would love to have you join in on that. And Growth Track is awesome. It helps you discover your divine design. Yeah. You're like, God, how have you wired me? What are the gifts that I have? And how can I use that in my everyday life? How can you use that knowledge and be empowered through the power of the Holy Spirit moving and working? Absolutely. So you can sign up for that through the app, or you can sign up to that through the website too.
Definitely. And if you're going through something right now, you're saying, hey, I'd love for somebody to pray with me. There's just some things happening in my life. We have teams that are praying all throughout the week. We'd love to pray with you. You can drop it in the chat there, or you can do it on the app. You can just simply submit that request there. And we have teams, like I said, that pray all throughout the week. We'd love to join our faith with yours and just agreeing that God's going to intervene in that situation. And then secondly is on the app, there is a daily devotional that you can jump into, just kind of a little quick snapshot to maybe start your day, or maybe it's at a lunchtime thing for you. But just to jump on there, read a verse, get a little bit of an encouragement, and just a great way to just continue to grow in your faith. And so we'd encourage you to download that app and see what all of it is all about there for you.
That's right. As we close up here, if this message encouraged you today, we want you to share it with a friend, share it with a family member.
Absolutely,
and also, we want you to invite them to church with you
next week.
Bring them with you if you're by in-person location, 10 in-person or online. It's going to be such a fantastic time.
Yep.
Also, next week, we're going to witness Lance
drinking
three pumpkin spice lattes. I'm just kidding. He absolutely hates them. But
hey,
we're praying for you this week. We're praying that you just go and know your value. You know your purpose, that we are in this world, but we're not of this world. So we'll catch you next Sunday.
We'll see you.